Hello, and welcome to Eisner Amper's Technology Podcast Series. With more than 500 technology clients, we're always interested in the latest industry trends and developments, as well as any related business and accounting opportunities and challenges. Today, we're talking about Amazon entering the bricks and mortar grocery business. I'm your host, Dave Plasko, and with us today is Dave Katz, Senior Audit Manager in Eisner Amper's Technology and Life Science Practice. We like to call this the Dave and Dave Show. Dave, as always, welcome and thanks for being here.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be here.
Dave, did I mention we have a special guest today? We're pleased to have Richard Coloca, partner in charge of Eisner Amper's Food and Beverage Group, to add a little flavor, so to speak, to our conversation. Dave, let's start with you. Amazon is descending from the cloud to open a chain of grocery stores. What's going on here?
Yeah, so Amazon's testing a location in Seattle now. And there have been talks of as many as 2,000 locations over the next 10 years, but recently Amazon has dialed back a little on that estimate. But to put that in perspective, Albertsons, one of the largest grocery chains in the U.S., has 2,400 stores. So Amazon is certainly aiming very high with this one.
Okay, so how does Amazon plan on competing?
It's by doing what they do best, which is leveraging technology. The stores called Amazon Go will utilize a Just Walk Out technology, which would offer no lines, no checkouts, no registers. The system will utilize a network of sophisticated sensors, machine learning, RFID, computer vision, and artificial intelligence. So essentially, you enter a store, you open and scan the Amazon Go app, you take an item from the shelf, and the technology detects what's been taken and its price. If you change your mind, you can put the item back, and that removes it from the virtual shopping cart. And when you're finished, you simply leave, and your credit card will be automatically charged.
Okay, Richard, let's get you in here on this. Give us a lay of the land, so to speak, on how competitive the grocery business is and what Amazon Go might be up against.
Sure. The industry itself is about an $800 billion industry. Currently, e-commerce accounts for about 1% of that industry. Estimates say Amazon is somewhere between 20 and 25% of that 1%. So relatively speaking, it's a small fraction, but as we could see, consumer consumption patterns are going more and more toward e-commerce. That's an overall lay of the land. Most of the retailers that I've spoken with believe that there are some challenges. It's technology that theoretically could be deployed by almost any retailer. Amazon's probably well ahead of the curve in terms of preparation and technology.
Similar to when you go to your Walmart or your Targets and you have your own checkout aisle, there's no person there, you kind of do it yourself.
That's correct.
But for now, Amazon is a little fish in a big pond.
Overall, yes. Yeah. If you think about similar type of technologies, not necessarily in food, but if you look at something along the lines of what Netflix did, when Netflix first came out, they came out with a concept of basically packaging a DVD, you rented the movie, and then you mailed it back. That seemed like a very long process to go through to watch a movie. Now you fast forward 15 or 20 years from they first introduced the concept, and now Netflix is the leading provider of streaming for that. So Amazon very well could be just building a customer loyalty base in anticipation of where they think future consumption patterns are headed.
Dave, tell us a little bit about what the in-store experience should feel like.
So initially we're looking at 1,800 square foot locations, pretty modest, offer convenience in-store type prepared food, staples, and Amazon meal kits that would compete with the likes of a Blue Apron, where you have prepared meals that you cook on your own. But going forward, locations may eventually reach the 35,000 square foot range of a fully stocked grocery store to compete with those businesses that Rich was talking about.
Now, Rich, what are you hearing from your grocery clients? Are they worried about this development? Is it, you know, something they're not too worried about? What are their you know, kind of the knee-jerk impressions?
Sure. I think Dave touched on it earlier, saying that Amazon does what they do, and they're good at it. So from that perspective, you've got a competitor that has name and branding recognition based on their reputation of how consumers purchase items. There are concerns on things such as cybersecurity. When you're in the store, Dave alluded earlier to, you know, if you load it in your cart and then take it out. So there's some concerns there on cybersecurity. In addition to that, now cybersecurity concerns would be basically there's a cart with a identified number to it, meaning your Amazon account, and now someone has access to the total number of people that are in and out of that store, either an hourly basis or a daily basis. So there's some of the concerns there. Some of the other challenges would be basically considering what type of average order size would you be looking at. Grocery retailers' average order size vary. If you go into the big box chains, the Costco's of the world, their average order size is certainly much larger than your traditional retail grocery store. But there are other things in terms of what type of products would be offered. You probably would not have the variety there. And you'd also have to give strong consideration in terms of total consumption patterns by different segments. So consumption patterns change all the time. Many years ago, you had really nothing between the retailer and the restaurant. Now you have an intermediary like Blue Apron. That changes the consumption pattern for a retailer because now those groceries are not sold by the retailer. They're sold by an outfit like Blue Apron. So there's consideration that certainly goes into all of that has to be acknowledged in terms of how the total impact is going to be across the entire segment.
Dave, tell us about some of the other tech bugs that Amazon would have to work out with this.
Rich touched on some of these, but Amazon has to figure out how to offer food such as produce priced according to weight. Also, you can't rely on shoppers to always put back items in the right spot. What do you do if they put it in a different location? Will it register that they've returned it? And how do you account for the various fraud scenarios that Rich touched upon, from Amazon accounts to food being moved around? A lot of different issues certainly out there.
Richard, I think you had some other thoughts on this.
Yeah, the retailers that I've spoken with, the concern would be monitoring shrinkage. So like Dave alluded to, when it's moving in and out of a cart, if the RFID technology tracks it properly, it should track it properly. But the concern is that there'd be an element of shrinkage of possibly removing it from the cart, possibly putting it into another cart, or possibly putting it to something that's not traceable or trackable, because essentially you're walking out the door. So there's heavy reliance certainly on the technology. The other consideration, you know, that retailers have is retailers have, you know, curbside pickup technology, which is basically ordering and then curbside pickup. So the underlying considerations that have to be given weight to is, does the brick and mortar store take that curbside pickup out of the equation, or is the curbside pickup direct competition for the brick and mortar store? Because essentially, either way, the consumer has to travel to the store location. Right. In one instance, the shopping is already done, and you're just basically picking up the products and loading them up in your car. And in the other one, you have to go into the store and spend the time picking and putting things into your car.
Richard, going to ask you to look into your crystal ball a little bit. Do you see this as being a game changer?
I think it's very early in the process. Certainly strong consideration has to be given to Amazon's client base. I do think there has to be certainly a lot of consideration given to consumption patterns from various consumers at different geographical age segments and other things. Certain consumers like the touchy-feely experience. Mm-hmm. Certain consumers, if they grow to the grocery store like myself, you'd want to make it a situation where you're going and buying a lot of product at once so you don't have to go every 3 days. However, there could be a change in consumption pattern where people may want to go to the grocery store every other day. So I think those consumer spending patterns and forecasting ahead are things that not only Amazon, but really the entire retail market of food have to give a lot of consideration to.
Now, this question is for both of you. What does this mean for the business advisor, for what you guys do? Dave, why don't you go first?
Yeah, so a couple things I think of. One interesting accounting area might be the valuation of this technology, whether Amazon can generate revenue from licensing to other grocery stores and retailers. And as we've spoken about at length, plenty of opportunities for cybersecurity advisors to make sure good guys aren't getting incorrectly charged and the bad guys aren't getting free groceries.
Richard, what about you? Where do you see this fitting into your practice area?
It's really looking at the ultimate end profitability for clients. So conceptually speaking, technology, the thought is always technology will make your company more efficient, make you more profitable. On the surface, that seems to be the case. However, what personnel may get eliminated from having the brick and mortar store and having basically self-checkout, come and go as you please, those costs may be replaced by additional costs of technology. Companies who are looking at these type of technologies, which eventually will get there from all avenues, companies will see, they'll have to give strong consideration ultimately on how it affects their level of profitability. Also should get some consideration on the size of the brick and mortar store. Real estate is expensive. So if you're considering, you know, a traditional 60,000 or 70,000 or 80,000 square foot typical retail grocer, maybe down in the future that becomes 30,000 square feet. So I think by taking all of the data that you see consumption patterns changing and evolving, I think all that has to be given strong consideration so ultimately they can assess what their profitability levels will be.
Do you envision a scenario where the traditional bricks and mortar grocery stores would come to business advisors such as Eisner Amper and say, hey, help us get this off the ground?
Sure. There are various components of getting it off the ground. Technology is certainly a very big component. When you think of typical food consumption, I'd say, you know, 10 years ago, for example, you wouldn't think technology had a strong play into the food sectors themselves, outside of research and development and other things. Now you're mirroring technology and consumption patterns, which affect the retailers, the distributors. Everything is getting merged together. So there has to be a very strong element of understanding the technology play across the sector.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for your expertise and your insight on this interesting topic. And thank you for listening to the Dave and Dave Show as part of the Eisner Amper podcast series. Visit EisnerAmper.com for more information on this and a host of other topics. And join us for our next Eisner Amper podcast when we get down to business.